This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. Geico has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Head of the VA under fire. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. On this Tuesday, May 24th. Glad you're with us. Here's what's up this hour.
Veterans Affairs Secretary Bob McDonald has compared wait times for healthcare to wait times at Disney. Criticism of his remarks is widespread.
After getting ripped by whistleblowers before Congress, a top TSA official has been replaced. Here are the allegations against Kelly Hogan.
President Obama has tough words for Vietnam in regards to human rights. He's on day two of a three-day trip.
And safety experts are grimacing about the way Egyptian officials are handling evidence gathered from Flight 804 in the Mediterranean Sea.
It could definitely complicate things. So a soldier who fired a gun a few days earlier or who was around munitions might brush something that was on the plane and even a few molecules of explosive or even some of the chemicals that go into making explosives could give a false positive.
Wall Street Journal reporter Dan Michaels on how evidence is being handled from that downed EgyptAir jet. He's here in about 2 minutes. After blistering criticism from whistleblowers testifying before Congress, the chief of the Transportation Security Administration's Key Intelligence Division has been replaced. The dismissal of Kelly Hogan was announced yesterday. The criticism of Mr. Hogan by three whistleblowers who testified last month focused on the fact that he had no prior experience in the intelligence arena, that he played a role in punishing whistleblowers, and that he received $90,000 in bonus pay even after reports of regular security screening failures at airports around the country. DePaul University transportation expert Joseph Schweiderman says it might be time for privatization.
A lot of airports are going to push for it. A lot of airports pretty happy with the experiment with some private operators. More want a piece of that action. These actions will stave those off a bit, but those pushes will continue.
At the April Oversight Committee hearing, lawmakers heard from whistleblower Mark Livingston, who said that when he raised concerns about the TSA, his supervisors reduced his pay by two grades and sought to make an example of him. President Obama is stepping up criticism of Vietnam's human rights record. On day two of his visit there, he argued earlier today that governments that allow dissent and political freedoms are rewarded with stability and economic prosperity. However, Mr. Obama also noted that some of the civil society activists he tried to meet with were prevented from coming for various reasons.
There are still areas of significant concern in terms of freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, accountability with respect to government.
As in his previous remarks, imploring countries to do better on human rights, Mr. Obama described some of the shortcomings in the U.S., such as what he called racial bias in the criminal justice system and gender disparity in pay. His latest comments were far sharper than his mention of human rights concerns yesterday when he met with a series of Vietnamese government officials, including the president, and said the U.S. would lift its ban on arms sales to Vietnam. Aviation safety experts are voicing concerns that Egypt may be mishandling debris collected from that downed EgyptAir jet, potentially compromising evidence that could help determine why Flight 804 vanished from radar last Thursday and crashed into the Mediterranean Sea. You'll recall it was en route from Paris to Cairo with 66 people on board. More now from Wall Street Journal reporter Dan Michaels. Dan, what's going on here?
The Egyptian military over the weekend published photographs showing the material that they've collected, the debris, parts of the plane, clothing, personal effects, and it showed that they were laying them out in ways that experienced crash investigators say are potentially dangerous or potentially harmful to the evidence because they were shown being put on the surfaces of ships and other places where the surfaces weren't protected and the people handling them weren't using suits to keep any residue off of the materials.
Wow. Is this a lack of competence? What's going on here?
Probably a lack of experience. The Egyptians have had the military handling the search and rescue, or just the search here, and it's probably not their specialization.
So,
it is unfortunately potentially damaging because military personnel are around explosives and other things that have the same sort of residue that investigators would be looking for to see if there was a bomb on the plane.
Wow. So what could this mean for the investigation then, that it's compromised?
It could, potentially. It could definitely complicate things. The trace amounts of chemicals that investigators will look for are really minute. So a soldier who fired a gun a few days earlier, or who was around munitions, might brush something that was on the plane, and even a few molecules of explosive, or even some of the chemicals that go into making explosives, could give a false positive. And it would be a very big red herring for the investigators.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Dan Michaels, who's based in Frankfurt. His story is called "Safety Experts Voice Fears Over Flight 804 Evidence." And specifically, Dan's talking about the way some of that evidence is being handled by Egyptian military officials. Has Egypt had any kind of formal reaction to this?
The Egyptian military yesterday rejected the criticism or the concerns. They said that they have experienced people handling this, and it is quite possible that they're the ones in charge. But the photos that they released, according to people who have experience dealing with explosives, show a different story.
Wow. So what about some of the other nations that are lending a hand here? Are they offering any sort of guidance?
Not sure about guidance. I know that the U.S. has a ship in the area that has collected quite a bit of debris. I believe it is doing it according to recommended standards. The French have a ship that just arrived yesterday that I know will do undersea searching for the wreckage and the black boxes. Probably will also do some surface collection. The U.S. Has been doing airborne surveillance, looking for things on the surface. So there are many countries involved here, though I think there are limits to how much one country can criticize the operations in the field of another.
Well, but we could wind up with different countries providing different theories as to what happened based on the way evidence was collected.
I think in the end, everything will go into one investigation. It's just that some of the evidence may have to be discounted. Or let's say, for example, if evidence that was collected by Egyptian military shows signs of potential explosive residue and none of the other evidence does, then probably there would be a suggestion, well, maybe it wasn't something on the plane. Maybe it was something that happened after the material was collected from the Mediterranean.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Wall Street Journal reporter Dan Michaels. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
A great business needs a stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery, grow your contact list, and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So, what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.
Let's take a moment to share a message from our sponsor, Google. You might be surprised how many people are looking for your business on Google every day, not necessarily by name, but by the products or services that your business offers. When people are searching for these things, it means they're interested in them, and that's exactly when your business should be there. The good news is it's easy to make that happen. Just run an ad on Google. You don't have to be a marketing genius either. Creating an ad takes just a few minutes. Head on over to g.co/GordonDeal to learn more. There's even a special offer waiting for you. That's g.co/GordonDeal. Glad you're with us. Good Tuesday to you. Veterans Affairs Secretary Bob McDonnell is under fire for remarks about long waits for vets to see doctors. He said the time it takes for veterans to receive medical treatment is like the experience of Disneyland guests waiting for a ride. He was speaking to reporters yesterday at a breakfast sponsored by the Christian Science Monitor. American Legion National Commander Dale Barnett ripped Mr. McDonald, saying, quote, people don't die while waiting to go on Space Mountain. Florida Congressman Jeff Miller weighed in.
Equating the wait times that veterans are experiencing today with the wait times of a vacationer at the Magic Kingdom really defies logic.
Also, presumptive GOP presidential nominee Donald Trump took to Twitter saying, quote, Obama's VA secretary just said we shouldn't measure wait times. Hillary says VA problems are not widespread. The VA, meanwhile, continues to be scrutinized for not addressing long waits that veterans are experiencing for medical treatment. Mr. McDonald has been on the job now for nearly 2 years. It's 20 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, a senior Egyptian forensics official, says the preliminary indication based on examination of recovered body parts is that an explosion ripped apart Egypt Air Flight 804. The official is part of the Egyptian investigative team and has personally examined the remains. He says all 80 pieces brought to Cairo so far are small and that there isn't a whole body part. President Obama says Washington does not want to dictate terms to Vietnam on improving human rights, but he adds that nations are more successful when people can freely express their thoughts and assemble without harassment. The president notes that he was prevented from speaking with some of Vietnam's opposition leaders.
There were several other activists who were invited. Who were prevented from coming for various reasons.
It's day two of the president's three-day visit. Opening statements are expected to begin today in the murder trial of actor Michael Jace, who's accused of killing his wife. Jace, who played a police officer on the TV series The Shield, allegedly shot his wife of 9 years as his young sons watched. Authorities say after the shooting, Jace called a police dispatcher and said he had killed his wife. Facebook has made a concession to conservatives in an effort to tamp down criticism that it suppressed right-wing views. The social network site says it is dropping its reliance on news outlets to help determine what gets posted as a trending topic. Muscle cars may look cool, but they don't offer the strongest protection in a crash. 2016 models of the Ford Mustang, Chevrolet Camaro, and Dodge Challenger didn't get the highest ratings in new tests by the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety. The Challenger was the worst performer, with lower ratings for roof seat and headrest strength. And China's dancers have taken their moves to the record books. Guinness World Record says more than 31,000 Chinese participants, mostly middle-aged and elderly women, have set a record for mass plaza dancing in multiple locations. 31,697 people in Beijing, Shanghai, and four other cities set the new mark on Saturday by performing choreographed dance moves together for more than 5 minutes.
That's pretty cool. But are we sure the Chinese government didn't have a hand in these stats or in the making of these videos?
Could be. I always wonder who starts this and organizes all these people.
Did the Chinese government strong-arm the Guinness officials into writing? I can't. I'm sorry. It's the cynic in me. 22 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. There's still a general thinking that men should be the ones to pay for things. Market Watch reporter Emma Court says, from who pays for the first date to who buys the diamond ring in a wedding proposal to who manages the family finances, every negotiation in relationships can seem weighted, even engineered, toward one inevitable end, the man having and controlling the money. But that might be changing. Emma, what have you found?
So I sort of took a look at, I was curious about why there was this widespread assumption that a man had to pay on the date, given that women have sort of ascended to a pretty high level of economic and political kind of power in this country, and it's been obviously a long time coming. So I took a look sort of at the history of this custom and why, you know, how it started and then why it sort of continues today, and sort of looked at a couple of perspectives on why that is.
So is there a sign that things are changing today here in 2016?
You know, I think that there has been sort of a rise in talking about subjects like this. There have been some pretty high-profile books sort of looking at, you know, women and dating today and, you know, feminist concepts involved in that. But I think if you look at the statistics today, there's still a pretty widespread idea that a man should pay. And it's interesting how rarely it's questioned.
Yeah. Thinking back to when I was dating, I think the assumption was I asked you to go out. So the assumption was I would pick up the tab. And then, you know, maybe you offered, I don't know, to cover the tip or split it. And I would say no. I think that was kind of my thinking. Not so much, I guess, that I was the man. It was just that I was the one who asked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think the interesting thing is I think today, you know, hopefully it's a little bit more accepted that a woman could ask a man on a date. I don't know if that's actually the case, but and the other thing is that, you know, with online dating, I think there's sort of more of a reciprocity there, that there's more of a sort of also, first of all, you know, reinvigorating this idea of the date as something that, you know, people do. I think that's really brought it back, you know, online dating, the way that you meet in real life is you go on a date. So that's been a big factor in my thinking. I was like, well, more people are going on dates now, but, you know, how has this affected it? And it doesn't appear to be changing much, but it's definitely a factor.
Yeah, it's funny because I think, I'll say, for lack of a better terminology, one of the trends now is that it might not be a formal date of like a dinner or something. It might just be coffee. That's an easy pill to pick up.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
We're speaking with Emma Court, healthcare reporter at Market Watch. Her piece is called "In the New Economics of Dating, Men No Longer Need to Pay." So what'd you say before about 3/4 of people said in a survey that the men should pay? How else did that break down?
Yeah, so this survey was done by NerdWallet, and they looked at 1,000 people who were in a relationship, and they found that on the first date, 3/4 of those people thought the man should pay, and then about 60% of the people interviewed said that, like, the male in the relationship paid for the majority for most dates.
Thanks, Emma. Market Watch reporter Emma Court, who's based in New York. Reminder, by the way, that we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. And if you like a little cynicism and sarcasm, you can certainly follow me directly @GordonDeal. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Mailing your letters and packages has just gotten a lot easier thanks to Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can mail and ship anything, anywhere, using just your computer and printer. No more trips to the post office, and it's so easy. Anyone can do it. Just click, print, and mail. With Stamps.com, you can buy and print official U.S. postage right from your desk. Stamps.com does all the work for you. They even give you a digital scale that automatically calculates exact postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail. And setup is easy, too. In just minutes, you'll be printing your very own postage. You'll never have to go to the post office again. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial, plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com. Enter Deal.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter @ThisMorningShow. Like us on Facebook or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Take a ledger with us on this Tuesday, May 24th. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. A top TSA official is out after whistleblower criticism. The head of the VA compares wait times for health care to wait times at Disney. The second Baltimore cop on trial in the Freddie Gray case has been acquitted of all charges. Trump releases an Instagram video with voices of two women who accused Bill Clinton of sexual assault. Tom Brady is again appealing his 4-game suspension. Sports Authority will start its going out of business sale on Friday. Hillary won't debate Bernie again. And lost class rings reunited with their owners. That story in about 20 minutes. It's time for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. If you're looking to take your business to the top, turn to the state that's doing the same, Michigan. Learn more at michiganbusiness.org. As we've learned during President Obama's current 3-day trip to Vietnam, the U.S. is lifting the arms sale embargo to that country. What exactly does that mean? Analysis now from Marcus Weisgerber, global business editor for Defense One. He's with us live this morning. Good morning, Marcus. What were the factors, you think, behind this decision?
Good morning. The factors are, despite the administration and a lot of people saying that, hey, this isn't about China, this is all about China. The U.S. is looking for allies in the region. They've been doing so since 2012. China, Vietnam, its military is very, very old. It's a lot of old Soviet stuff. We're talking tanks, we're talking fighter jets, we're talking ships. They have some new Russian stuff, but the U.S. military equipment is the best that there can be. The U.S. wants access to Vietnam bases, and they want Vietnam to help them counter China in the region.
Why would they just not say that it's all about China?
Well, they've been very adamant since they've announced in 2012 that they were pivoting their forces to the Pacific to counter China's rise and its military buildup. That diplomatically, that they've just constantly said it's more about economics and trade, because it is. It's more about than just countering China militarily, but at the end of the day, it is about China.
Yeah. All right. So who benefits here, Marcus?
Well, Vietnam right now, that they stand to benefit the most, because there was no quid pro quo. There was no the U.S. has been wanting to get access to Cam Ranh Bay. It's a naval deep water port. It was a naval U.S. naval base during the Vietnam War. It's down in the south. Former U.S. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta actually visited that area, that port, back in 2013. I was with him when he went there. He's the highest ranking U.S. official to go there since Lyndon Johnson. And there was an expectation that would have been announced with the U.S. saying that they'd sell arms. But as of right now, it still hasn't.
Well, so this talk about human rights and there being some sort of a connection here to lifting this arms sale embargo, is that just a bunch of blah, blah, blah?
Well, you know, Vietnam will say that they have done much to improve human rights. I'll tell you, back when I was there in 2013, the people I spoke with, you know, were still blocked from Facebook, Twitter, et cetera. Now they were able to get on it because they just used special apps on their phones to circumvent the firewalls that were up. And as a matter of fact, the Vietnamese government actually took down those traps while we were there. So, on our phones, everything worked just fine, and we couldn't and we didn't have any issues. Plus, we were staying in a very westernized hotel, so okay, we were able to get on.
That's really something. Well, we're speaking live this morning with Marcus Weisgerber, global business editor for Defense One, talking about the reasons for the U.S. lifting its arms sale embargo to Vietnam. All right, so set up basically too what's going on with China with regards to the South China Sea right now and all this land it seems to be claiming.
Right, China's claiming, they've been reclaiming actually a lot of land, shoals, and building military bases. You know, they say they're building. They're not purely military bases, but they've flown military aircraft there. They've put surface-to-air missiles on these bases. It's also worth noting that Vietnam is in a debate with China as well over some of these pieces of land. And the U.S. says they stay out of these land disputes, but of late they've been flying a lot of surveillance planes and sailing a lot of ships right by these islands. And that hasn't been greeted with open arms by China.
Yeah, sure. I think they accused the U.S. of meddling yesterday. But what good does it do for Vietnam to have, say, arms from the U.S. or elsewhere? It would be no match for China militarily, right, if there was some sort of confrontation in the South China Sea?
Well, any little bit of arms or anything you have does serve as a deterrent to an extent. As you said, China's military is far more powerful. Another U.S. ally in the region will ignore China, and U.S. officials hope that by alliances like this, alliances like the U.S. has continued to build of late with the Philippines and longtime allies like Japan and Korea, that it could deter China's aggression and military buildup.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for a few minutes this morning, Marcus. Much appreciated. Marcus Weisgerber, global business editor for Defense One. 20 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, thankfully, most of us haven't had the pleasure of an extended stay in prison or the opportunity to break out. But if we did, I would hope that we'd all be smart enough to know that the first rule of breaking out of prison is to not go back for any reason. Alaska State Troopers say a man who escaped from a minimum security facility returned 3 hours later with an SUV to pick up some of his fellow inmates. Troopers say that 20-year-old Joshua Yaska was seen riding a bicycle away from the correctional facility at about 1:05 a.m. on Sunday, but then returned with an Isuzu SUV to try to aid in the escape of other inmates, nearly running over an employee at the facility with the vehicle in the process. Troopers say they caught up with him that night after he broke into a relative's home, so it was a very eventful night for this guy. So on top of the theft charges he was already facing, Yaska now has misdemeanor escape and assault charges to contend with as well.
I see.
Yeah.
Pulls up in the SUV.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Exactly.
Hey, fellas.
Now this was
here.
Yeah. Now this was a minimum security facility. From what I hear, there wasn't a lot of lockdown going on. So I guess it would have been pretty easy for him to do that. It just wasn't the smartest thing. But again, he doesn't seem like the smartest guy in the first place to have gotten into the situation, you know, in the first place to have been put into this place.
Minimum. Listen, I'm an expert now because I watch 15 different reality shows based on Alaska.
Okay.
So a minimum security lockup in Alaska is pretty much a shed.
Yeah. That's what this sounds like.
It's
too.
Like you're on the, you know. That's basically Alaska.
Come on, guys, we're going for a ride.
Yeah, could you imagine just flashing the lights as he pulled up or something? Guys, I'm here. Oh, man.
Let's do this.
It's unbelievable.
And we've heard, Gordon, that Americans have been consuming more cereal in recent years, but few of us could pull off this feat. Competitive eater Matt Stoney recently posted a video of him devouring a monster bowl of nearly 3 pounds of Cinnamon Toast Crunch, along with 2 gallons of 2% milk. According to the video, this breakfast of eating champions totals 7,700 calories, including over 206 grams of fat, over 1,200 grams of carbs and 586 grams of sugar. And he finishes the bowl by slurping down the cereal flavored milk just over 17 minutes after he begins. Whoa. The video has been viewed over 1 million times since it was posted on Friday. Among Stoney's previous videos is one of him tackling and beating an 11,000 calorie ice cream sundae in just 15 minutes.
Wow.
And the thing that always gets me, and I think that gets most of us about these competitive eaters, is that almost all of them are skinny.
Yeah.
This is the skinniest guy I've ever seen. You could never guess that he could that much content would just fit into his stomach.
Right.
How does his stomach even hold that much food? I have no idea.
Right, never mind the food. How about just 2 gallons of milk?
Yeah.
In 17 minutes.
Yeah. And he gets
through,
you know, and as far as we can tell, he kept it all down. There was no postscript, but
the only attempt I would ever make for something like this would be with the greatest cereal of all time.
And that is
Mike, which you know. And you fully support me, Captain Crunch.
You know?
Nothing better.
I'll let you have that one.
15 million grams of sugar in a single spoonful.
I won't dispute you on the air on that one.
13 minutes now in front of the hour. Let's take a moment to share a message from our sponsor, Google. You might be surprised how many people are looking for your business on Google every day, not necessarily by name, but by the products or services that your business offers. When people are searching for these things, it means they're interested in them, and that's exactly when your business should be there. The good news is it's easy to make that happen. Just run an ad on Google. You don't have to be a marketing genius either. Creating an ad takes just a few minutes. Head on over to g.co/GordonDeal to learn more. There's even a special offer waiting for you. That's g.co/GordonDeal. Glad you're with us. 8 minutes now before the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, human remains retrieved from the crash site of Egypt Air Flight 804 suggest there was an explosion on board that may have brought down the aircraft in the East Mediterranean. A senior Egyptian forensic official calls it a logical explanation. The official, part of the Egyptian team investigating the crash that killed all 66 people on board the flight from Paris to Cairo last Thursday, has personally examined the remains at a Cairo morgue. The head of security for the TSA has been removed from his position after the agency was criticized for long lines at airport security checkpoints. Kelly Hogan, who had served as TSA Assistant Administrator for Security Operations since May 2013, was replaced by his deputy. Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut is a member of the Senate Aviation Subcommittee.
There is a range of measures that need to be taken as soon as possible, including better automated screening equipment, more of the personnel trained better.
Long security lines at airports this spring have frustrated travelers and caused thousands of passengers to miss flights. Hogan came under fire at a House hearing earlier this month for receiving over $90,000 in bonuses and awards over a 13-month period. Evidence presented in court today in Pennsylvania will determine whether comedian Bill Cosby will go to trial for allegedly drugging and sexually assaulting a woman in 2004. Cosby has said that he engaged in consensual sexual contact with a Temple University employee while she visited his home in suburban Philadelphia. Use of electronic cigarettes and other vaping devices has stalled as more people question their safety. According to a new poll from Reuters, 47% now say vaping is not healthier than smoking conventional cigarettes, compared with 38% who felt that way a year ago. They may not have dined like kings, but they did chow down like a president, and that was good enough for Barack Obama. And CNN foodie Anthony Bourdain, star of the show Parts Unknown. The two dined in Hanoi today during the president's visit to Vietnam. On the menu was a dish of grilled pork and rice noodles, some greens, and Vietnamese beer. Bourdain described the president's chopstick skills as on point.
Nice. On point. Are you good with chopsticks?
I'm okay. Not great. I was in Tokyo and I got complimented by a stranger who thought I was doing well. I didn't think I was doing that
well. Wow. So your chopstick skills also are on point.
A little bit.
Very nice. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Good story about someone who lost a sentimental piece of jewelry years ago who's now been reconnected with it thanks to the efforts of others. The Mansfield News Journal in Ohio says Cherie Kissiar remembers wearing her 1991 Mansfield senior class ring while taking care of her dying mother. One of the last items her mother bought her before losing her battle with breast cancer. It's been missing since 91. But she's been reunited with it thanks to Trent Dawson, the local owner of a Mr. Reuter Plumbing. Said he found it in 2010. He and his team have recovered four class rings the past few years through social media. They found three of the four owners. If you've lost an Ohio school class ring, check with Mr. Reuter in Mansfield. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
Here's to the innovators and job creators. Dell is proud to support small businesses everywhere with reliable, award-winning technology powered by Intel Core processors, created to give your business four times faster performance and cut downtime by 50%. During Small Business Month, enjoy 35% off select business PCs, plus always get free shipping and advice from Dell's dedicated experts. Visit Dell.com/radio to discover how we can help you do your best work. Intel Inside. Powerful solution outside.